Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. In just a moment, Pastor Jeff will be sharing an uplifting and encouraging message that we pray will inspire you in your walk with God. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
Well, I want to just take you back to last Sunday real quick. And I want to just share with you what I told you. I felt like the Lord laid on my heart going into the new year about preaching a series that I'm calling Anchored. Because of what we don't know exactly what we'll face in 2025, and because we know there'll be some trials and triumphs, there'll be some success along the way, there'll be storms in this life, we need to make sure that we are anchored in biblical truth. We need to make sure that we're anchored in biblical truth, especially because we're living in a day right now when the Word of God is being attacked and being twisted. So we need to make sure that we're anchored in the Word of God. We need to make sure that we're anchored spiritually, because if we're not anchored, we can find ourselves drifting away from the Lord. And nobody wants to drift away from the Lord. I don't want to see anybody in this church drift away from the Lord. I don't want to drift away from the Lord. In fact, instead of drifting away from the Lord, my prayer is that we'll draw near to the Lord. Draw near to the Lord. Because when we draw near to the Lord, the Bible says He draws near to us. So last Sunday, I shared with you the very first message for the new year about how we need to make sure that we're staying anchored in our fellowship with Jesus. We need to make sure that we stay anchored in our fellowship with Jesus, because Jesus is our salvation. He's our only salvation. We stay anchored in Jesus because He's the one that sets us free. We stay anchored in Jesus because He's the one that keeps me stable when life is shaken. And if you didn't get a chance to watch the message or hear the message, you can always go to available on our YouTube page. You can go and watch that service again. I encourage you to do so. But today, I want to just take the next few minutes and talk to you about how we need to make sure that we are anchored not only in fellowship with Jesus, but we need to make sure that we're anchored in the Bible. That we're anchored in the Bible. Listen, every follower of Jesus Christ should be anchored in the Bible. Come on, that's a good place to say amen. Every follower of Jesus should be anchored in the Bible. That's why we need to make it a priority to get in the Bible so the Bible can get into us. We need to make it a priority to get in the Bible so the Bible can get in us. That's pretty much what Paul told Timothy. I'm going to share with you two scriptures here, along with many others, but these are the two main ones. In 1 Timothy 4:16, Paul was pretty much telling Timothy, get in the Word so the Word can get in you. He says to him, watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. In other words, watch your life. Watch your life, watch your heart, but also watch your head with the doctrine. They're both are very vital in your growth in the Lord. And then he goes on to tell him in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, he says to Timothy, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, Timothy, I give you this charge, preach the word. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. You take the word, Timothy, and you correct with it. You rebuke with it, and you encourage with it, and do it with great patience and careful instruction. Why do I need to do that, you would say? For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. That word myth there, translated into Hebrew, it means internet. Translated into Greek, it means Facebook. No, it doesn't. But it could. We need to make a priority to get in the Word so the Word can get in us. Because we don't want to be turned aside by these myths. And the reason why we need to be anchored in the Bible is because, just follow along with me here, because the Bible is inspired. The Bible is inspired. That means that every word the Bible contains is inspired by God. In fact, Timothy was told by Paul in 2 Timothy 3:16, you can jot these scriptures down. I don't have all of them loaded because I have a lot today. But he tells Timothy, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scripture, he says, Timothy, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We need to make sure that we're anchored in the Bible because the Bible is inspired by God, of God. The Bible is also infallible. That means the Bible is trustworthy and it will never fail you. God's word is completely reliable. God's word is unchanging. Listen to me this morning. Please hear me. The Bible doesn't change based on a changing culture. The Bible doesn't change because the culture is changing. The Bible doesn't change because current events are changing. The Bible is reliable, it's unchangeable, it's infallible, and because of that, it is the standard for living a righteous life. The Bible is infallible. The Bible is also indestructible. It's indestructible. That means that the Bible will endure forever. The Word of God will endure forever. Listen, men cannot destroy God's Word. And there has been an attempt throughout history by men to destroy God's Word, to ban it, to burn it, to bury it. And they've never been successful. In fact, in the 18th century, there was this French philosopher by the name of Voltaire. Look at this guy here, Voltaire. He looks like he has issues, right? Voltaire was a French philosopher. And listen to what he said. Voltaire said, he said, 100 years after my death, from my death, the Bible will only be a museum piece. It'll be something that just sit in a museum. But history tells us, 100 years after his death, that the French Bible Society set up headquarters in Voltaire's old home in Paris, and they even used Voltaire's printing press to print Bibles. Yeah, come on, God. Look, his word is indestructible. You can try to ban it, you can try to bury it, and burn it, or whatever, but the word of God is indestructible, and no matter how hard people try to destroy the word of God, the Bible says that the grass withers, the flowers will fall away, but the word of the Lord will endure forever. So the Bible is indestructible. The Bible is also inerrant. The Bible is inerrant. And we're having a theology class today on Bible. The Bible is inerrant. That means the Bible has no errors and contradictions at all. When we say the Bible is inerrant, the Bible is a revelation and a reflection of God, and God is perfect. He is perfect. He's perfect in all of his ways. In fact, I was reading this morning in my own study time, private time for me, in Psalm 12, and I came across this scripture here, that the law of the Lord is flawless. The law of the Lord is perfect. And people throughout history have attempted to find error with the Bible, to disprove the Bible, but in their quest of trying to prove error or contradiction, they find their own selves transformed by the power of God. If you want to know somebody, one of the great apologists of our time right now is a man by the name of Josh McDowell. If you want to look him up sometime, please do so. He actually was in Falcon one year and spoke to our church, and he set out on this quest to find error with the Bible, to disprove the Bible. And while he was doing that, the Lord got a hold of his heart and saved him and turned his life around. And now he has a testimony, and he goes around as an apologist defending the gospel. He tried to prove error, but what happened was God got a hold of his heart. Now, I don't want to bust anybody's bubble here, but the great evangelist Billy Graham preached to millions of people all over the world. And in 1949, before he preached a crusade in Los Angeles, California, that would reach 350,000 people, Billy Graham shared in his book, and you need to read it if you get a chance, the book called Just As I Am. And he testified in that book that on that evening before that crusade, that he had a crisis of faith and began to question whether the Bible truly was the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And Billy Graham said, if I can't trust the Bible, then I can't go on. And Billy Graham walked in the San Bernardino Mountains of California, and he wrestled with God that night. And in the middle of that night, he tells in the book that he fell on his knees, laying the Bible on the ground, and he cried out, oh God, there are many things I don't understand in this book. There are many problems I don't have solutions for. But while he was on the ground and crying out to God, the Holy Spirit touched Billy Graham and freed him to be able to shout these words in those mountains. And he shouted, Father, I'm going to accept this as thy word by faith. I'm going to accept it as thy word by faith, and I'm going to allow my faith to go beyond my intellectual questions and even my doubts, and I will believe, Billy Graham says, I will believe this is your inspired word. And that night in those mountains, the Holy Spirit filled the greatest evangelist ever with the words that will ring across the world to millions of souls. And those three words were, the Bible says. The Bible says. The Bible says became his most famous line every time he preached. You know why? Because Billy Graham was anchored in the Bible. He was anchored in the Bible. Now, sadly, many ministers and many ministries and many movements over the years have lost its way when it comes to what the Bible says. Many ministers, many ministries, many movements have pulled up the anchor of God's word and have drifted away from the truth and have either divided, as we have even seen here recently among denominations, or even dissolved and no longer exist. God help us. God help me. God help you. God help Mount Olive First PH Church to stay anchored in the Bible. And I pray that you are consistently reading and studying the Bible every day. Let me just take you through something that might help you here. You need to remember this when you're reading your Bible. Remember this when you are reading and studying the Bible. There is a main narrative that's always running in the background in every book in the Bible. Whether you're reading from Genesis through all the way to Revelation, there's always this main narrative that is always running. And that main narrative is called the gospel. The gospel. And here's what it looks like from Genesis to Revelation. Here's what that main narrative that's always running in the background when you read the Bible, it's going to help you, I promise you. It looks like this: creation, corruption, and then redemption and restoration or renewal. That's what's always running in the background when you're reading your Bible. Creation, how God made us, why we're here, why we were created, corruption, sin, and the fall of man, and now why this world is broken. And then you have redemption. Now that the world is broken and man has fallen to sin, God is on has a rescue plan to save us from our sins through his son, Jesus Christ. And then you have restoration or renewal, that God is restoring lives. He's restoring his creation. And eventually, Jesus will make all things new. And you can read that running in the background from Genesis all the way through Revelation. I mean, you can see that creation in Genesis. You can see the corruption even in the garden there. And then look in the book of Judges and you can see the corruption. And then you can see the redemption in every smaller narrative in the Bible. But that is the main narrative running behind in the background all throughout the Bible. Creation, corruption, redemption, and restoration or renewal. So let me just give you, I could give you 100 reasons this morning why you need to be anchored in the Bible. But instead, I'm only going to give you 99. You ready? So you write these down. We're going to go fast. Number one, you need to anchor in the Bible because it grounds us in the truth. You need to stay anchored in the Bible because it grounds you in the truth. To keep you from drifting and to keep you from being deceived, we need to make sure that we're grounded in the truth. Jesus said these words here. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. You'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. There are a lot of people I know that are not free today. They're not free. I mean, it's because they don't know the truth. They are held captive by strongholds. And if you don't know what a stronghold is, the stronghold is, it's a lie that the devil will use to try to tempt you to believe about something. If he can convince you of a lie and deceive you, then you have a stronghold over you. You're being held captive by a stronghold. And the only way you can get free from the lies of these strongholds by the enemy is to make sure that you are grounded in the truth. When he comes with his lies, you can say, devil, you are a liar, and I know this is a lie from hell, and I'm standing on the word of God, I'm standing on his truth. You can make that declaration right back because you're grounded in the truth, because those that know the truth will set you free. Then Jesus went on to preach a message. He preached this message, and in the message, he used an illustration of two houses. He said, therefore, everyone that hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a man who built his house on the rock. The rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. That was one house that heard the word and put the word into practice. But there was another house that heard the word but didn't put the word into practice, and that house crumbled. That house fell. We need to make sure that our house is standing on the word of God. Come on, church. I want my house built on the word of God. I want to hear the word, apply the word, and live the word, and practice the word, and I want my house standing on the truth. How will you be able to stand on the truth when you don't know the truth? The only way to stand through the storms of this life and the attacks of the enemy is to make sure that you are anchored in the truth. Now, I've seen God's people. At times, I've talked with people and they have drifted away and their house, their home, their life has collapsed spiritually because they started standing on their feelings instead of standing on the truth. They started standing on their feelings instead of standing on the truth. It goes something like this right here. Well, you know, I mean, the Bible was kind of an old book, and we're living in a new day now, and, well, this is kind of how I feel about it. This is how I feel about it. This is how I feel about, you know what, with everything going on in the culture right now, this is kind of how I feel about marriage. This is kind of how I feel about sexuality. This is how I feel about the gender issue. This is kind of how I feel about abortion. I want you to do me a favor. Don't take this wrong, please. Don't take it wrong at all. But I don't care how you feel about it. I don't care how you feel about it. What I care about is what God says about it. Come on, that's what I care about, what God says about it. What I care about is that you're anchored in the Bible. What I care about is that you're anchored in the truth and you're standing on the Word. It's not how you feel that matters. It's what God says that matters, and it matters that we're standing on the truth of God's Word. So anchor your life in the Bible, because that will determine whether you stand or whether you fall. So you got to anchor yourself in the Bible. Charles Spurgeon, he said, a Bible falling apart is usually a sign of somebody who isn't falling apart. And so if you got a Bible that's about to fall apart, that's a good sign that your life is together. Praise the Lord. When I think of that word together, I remember I was riding down the road one day and a church van passed us, and it had wrote on the side of the church van the name of the church, and the name of the church was All Together. And I'm thinking, that is a lie right there. What church has it all together? Because we're people and nobody's perfect. But I thought it was funny. Anchor in the Bible so you can be grounded in truth. Anchor in the Bible because it will help you grow spiritually. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Desire the pure milk of the word so you can grow. You may be wondering this morning why you're not growing spiritually. Could it be because you have no desire to spend time studying and reading the Bible consistently? You may wonder why every test and every trial you face, why it always seems to shake you. Could it be that you have no desire to spend time studying and reading the Bible? You wonder why you're walking in fear all the time instead of having faith to believe God. Could it be you have no desire to read and study the Bible? How in the world can we expect to grow if we never open the Bible and read it? You can't get nothing from the Bible that is right here. You got to open it up and you got to read it. You got to read it. And for whatever reason, the studies show today that most Christians are not reading their Bibles. Most Christians today are Bible illiterate. I read one time it said that if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And a lot of times we're just too busy to be able to sit down and have that time with the Lord and read the Bible so we can make sure that we're growing spiritually. We should always be growing in the Lord. We should always be growing in the Word. And I promise you, if you'll make time and study the Word and read the Word and meditate on the Word, I promise you, you will grow spiritually. Your family will notice it. Your friends will notice. They'll know that you have been in the Word of God, and they'll see the growth in your life. Anchor in the Bible because it grows you spiritually. Anchor in the Bible because it gives us hope. Peter says in 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. I'm thankful when I open my Bible, it gives me hope. I hope when you're reading your Bible, you're filled with hope. The Bible gives us hope in some very dark and difficult seasons. The Bible gives me hope through my pain. The Bible gives me hope through my suffering. The Bible gives me hope through my doubts and my questions. The Bible gives me hope through sickness. The Bible gives me hope through brokenness and heartache and all kinds of other things. The Bible gives us hope. And not only does the Bible give us hope, but the Bible gives hope to other people around us. When people see you walking through those dark and difficult seasons and they wonder, as you walk through those times, how in the world can you have hope? You'll be able to say, I have hope because I'm anchored in the Word of God. I'm anchored in the Bible. When I stand to minister, I hope that you can sense that I have been in the Word and that hope is being released into the atmosphere. I pray that when I sit down to counsel with somebody, that person I'm counseling can sense that I have been in the Bible and hope is being released into that atmosphere. I pray when I walk into a hospital and there's a surgery or anything like that of ministry, I pray that person can tell that I've been in the Bible and there's hope being released into the atmosphere. You see, when you're in the Bible, when you anchor yourself in the Bible, it's going to release hope, not only into you, but also to those around you. And if you're around somebody and it's always, negative, 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 and they get around you and they just begin to pull you down and pull you down just by the way they talk and by their attitude and by their body language. Does anybody know anybody like that? Don't look at them. I mean, come on, you wonder, have they been in the Bible? Because when I'm in the Bible, it gives us hope. Anchor in the Bible. Anchor in the Bible because it holds us steady in uncertain times. Listen to what the Bible says in Ephesians 4, 13 through 14. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge, of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every kind of wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. The Bible holds me steady through uncertain times. The Bible holds me steady and keeps me from being tossed by the cunning and deceitful teachings of this world. Why? Because I'm anchored in the Word of God. I'm not being deceived by all these different kinds of teachings that are out there. I'm anchored in the Bible. I'm anchored in the Bible, and it keeps me steady during uncertain times. I'm not tossed and by the waves of all these different teachings. I'm standing, I'm anchored in the Word of God. I can say, the Bible says, and it holds me steady. And I'm not pulled this way or pulled that way, and I don't fall into these crazy schemes that are out there that are asking for money and different things like that. Send $700 and seven blessings to come your way 7 days in a row. That is false teaching. I'm standing right now, and I'm claiming when I walk out of here, I'm sitting in a Cadillac driving home. No, I'm sitting in a Camry. Thank God for it. You got to make sure you're anchored in the Bible. Anchor in the Bible because it also gives us discernment. In Philippians chapter 1, the Bible says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern, say discern, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. Discernment. When you anchor yourself in the Bible and you read the Bible, you will receive discernment. You'll receive discernment on living your life for God and living in God's will for your life. Anchor in the Bible. And when you do that, God will reveal His will to you. I talk to people all the time. Well, can you help me pray what God's will is for my life? Well, let's start with the Bible. What does the Bible say God's will is for your life? Let me tell you, and I could go here all day long. God's will for you is to repent of sin and to be saved. God's will is for you is to live a holy life, pleasing unto God. This is your act of worship. God's will for you is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God's will for you is to go and preach and make disciples. God's will for you is to love one another. God's will for you is to do good. God's will for you is to be salt and to be light. God's will for you is to be thankful in all circumstances. God's will for you is to pray without ceasing. God's will is for you to trust Him in all things and for all things and lean not on your own understanding. That's God's will for your life. How you doing with that so far? You get those locked in and then we'll keep right on going. You see, when you anchor yourself in the Bible, you can receive discernment to what God's will is for your life. You can discern that. How many of you have been reading the Bible before and God begins to speak to you about a certain place in your life that you need to surrender more to Him and ask for His help in? Come on, anybody besides me? Amen. The Word of God will help you to discern God's will. You also need to anchor in the Bible. I got good news. This is the last one. Anchor in the Bible because it has power to help us. I want you to be helped. I want you to receive help. And when you anchor your life in the Bible, it will help you. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is living and active." Some translations say powerful. "For the word of God is living and active," or powerful, "and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." In other words, the Bible has power to help you. The Bible has power to examine you and expose you. I've had people come up to me after a service and say, "Man, you were preaching the word, and while you were preaching the word, the Lord just began to speak. Has my wife been talking to you? Because you were all in my mail. You were all in my, how did you know that?" Because the Bible has power to examine you and to expose you. The Bible has power to save you. The Bible has power to transform you. The Bible has power to heal you. The Bible has power to cleanse you. The Bible has power to guide you. The Bible has power to encourage you. The Bible has power to help you. You know why? Because Jesus is the Word of God. Amen. Brother, if you'll come, thank you. We got to land this plane. Aren't you thankful the Bible has power to help us? And listen, my heart is for you to receive that power and receive that help. But it starts by you opening up your Bible and reading your Bible. And when I have the connections class, I tell people all the time, get a Bible that you can understand the translation. Listen, I'm from Calypso. It was all I could do to get past the eighth grade. I can't read the King James Version. I can't read it. Now, I look at it, and I compare the translations, and I study the words, but I can't read it. I have to use a translation I can read. And usually, for me, it's the NIV, it's the NLT, it's the New King James Version. I like all of them. And I like just comparing them. I like studying the Word, digging deeper in the Word. But find a translation you can read. And when you open your Bible, just don't open it up and say, "All right, I'm going to read here today." No, have a systematic way to read your Bible. Right now, I'm reading the Bible in a year again. Did it last year. I'm going back through it again. There's different plans out there. Write this down. If you want to know some good Bible plans, and they're free online, you can print them off and you can put it in your Bible. There's go to Navigators. The Navigators. There's several different Bible plans they offer you for reading the Bible in a year, in 6 months, 9 months, however you want to read it. They got all kinds of different plans. Go to the Billy Graham website. Just type in Billy Graham Bible reading plan. He has several different Bible reading plans out there. We just sent out something in an email here recently from our church with a Bible reading plan in it. You need to make sure that you're anchored in the Bible. Anchored in the Bible. You're reading the Bible. Listen, I'm all for the verse of the day, but the verse of the day ain't going to cut it. On a normal time when we're not fasting, how many of y'all going to wake up in the morning and eat a little bit of a half of a vanilla wafer and try to make it the rest of the day? Somebody's going to be stopping and getting more food later on. You can't live like, you can't live coming in here on a Sunday and thinking you can feast and be nourished on just what I share here. You got to dig in for yourself. You got to go in for yourself. And you got to read the Word. Anchor yourself in the Bible. You know, I read this story that was so powerful as we close here. I believe it was in 1932. And there was an opportunity for two missionary ladies to go into Ethiopia to a tribe called the Wolomo tribe. And they were in there not very long. And then, you know, it was right before World War II. And Mussolini was wreaking havoc in different places. And he forced all the missionaries out of that area of Ethiopia and away from those tribes especially. And at that time, when them two missionary ladies left, there was 150 Christians, that people that had been converted to Christ in that tribe. And after they were converted, these two missionaries were forced to leave. They had to leave. And the only thing they could leave behind to that tribe were Bibles. That's the only thing they left behind. They left behind Bibles. And the story goes that 6 years later, when they went back into that tribe, the Wolomo tribe, they were amazed at what they found. All that was there when they left were 150 Christians and a bunch of Bibles that were left behind, and now it had grew to 48,000 Christians. 48,000 Christians. And not only that, but churches had been planted in there, in that area there, in that country. Tribes that had been feuding with one another, peace had come amongst them. You know why? Because there's power in the Bible. You open it up and read it, and God's going to begin to work. You need God to work in your life, some power to come to help you, maybe for your marriage or at work or just what you're dealing with in your own life. I promise you, open up the Word, anchor yourself in the Word, and there's power that will help you, because it's living. It's active. It's powerful. It's a sword that will cut through you. It is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And my prayer this morning is that every single person in this place that comes to this church, whether you're on campus or online, is that you would have a desire to want to be in the Word. Just like that little newborn babe. You know what that newborn babe's going to do if they don't get milk? Fussy and crying, yelling and screaming. Man, I want to make sure I have that kind of desire. I need this. I need this to nurture me so I can grow. Amen. And I want you to have that same desire. Would you stand with me, please? Hey, the Bible will tell you that we've all sinned. And the Bible will tell you that we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible will tell you that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The Bible will tell you that God loved us, that He sent His one and only Son, Jesus, to die for us on the cross. The Bible will tell you that if you will repent of your sins and by faith receive Jesus Christ into your life, by faith, repent of your sins and receive Christ, you too shall become a son and daughter of God. If you'll confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you too shall be saved. You can be saved. You can be saved. The Bible tells us that you can be saved. Would you bow your heads, please? Nobody looking around. Lord, with your anointing and with your help, God, I pray right now that you would just speak to every heart here. First and foremost, if there's anybody here that is lost, I pray, Lord, for their salvation. I pray that they would be saved. The Bible says heaven is a real place and hell is a real place. Friend, I want you in heaven. I want you in heaven. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ Jesus as your Savior, as your Lord, and you'd like to repent of your sins and receive Him now by faith, nobody looking around, nobody looking around, would you just lift your hand and say, "That's me, preacher. Would you pray for me today to receive Christ? I want to live and follow Him." Would you do that? God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. You can put your hand down. The Lord knows. The Lord sees. Lord, for those that are here that have indicated by the lifting of their hands, God, that they would love to receive you now in faith to be their Lord and Savior. Maybe they didn't even raise their hand, but God, that heart is drawn to you now to do that. I pray. Just pray, Jesus, save me. Save my soul. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my sins. I repent. I repent. I turn right now from those sins and I turn to you, Jesus Christ, and for to be my Lord and to be my Savior. By faith, I thank you for what you did on the cross. I thank you for what you did through your resurrection. And because you are our living Lord, because you are alive, I will live forever in eternity. And I receive the gift of salvation right now by faith. I receive it into my life right now. And I am going to anchor myself in Jesus, and I'm going to anchor myself in the Word, and I am going to follow you, Lord, and I'm going to glorify you as you grow me. Nobody looking around. I thank you for those that have made this.